Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, respected listeners of Sirius FM as well as Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah. We welcome you to this program, Al-Fiqhu ala al-Madhahib al-Arba'a, Jurisprudence according to the four schools of thought. The date today is the 8th of Rabi'ul Awwal, 1446, and corresponding to the Gregorian calendar, the 12th of September, 2024. Alhamdulillah, we'll be discussing today in our fiqh program Imam Abu Yusuf Rahmatullah Alayh, the celebrated student of Imam Abu Hanifa Rahmatullah Alayh. So if you have been following the past few weeks, we've been focusing on all these great giants of fiqh. And today we'll be connecting with Mufti Saab, Mufti Abdul Qadir Hussain Saab Dawud Barakatuhu, who is in Durban currently, and his programs are to take place there up until Sunday night. Isha will be the last program, inshallah. So we'll be connecting with Mufti Saab now in a moment. Hanifa, we just have...
Hello.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Mufti Saab.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Speak much louder. It's very faint. I can hardly hear.
Gee, Mufti Saab, today we're discussing Imam Abu Yusuf rahmatullahi alayhi. How's Mufti Saab's journey going so far in Durban?
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد All praise due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader حبيبنا مصطفى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم لك الشكر كله ولك الحمد كله وصلى الله على النبي الأمي Everything is going very, very well with Allah's fazl, grace and mercy. The barakah, blessing of the Master, Habibuna Mustafa, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Yesterday we did the blessing of marriage and then we went away to the airport and we were there exactly 1 o'clock or so. And then after we checked in, then we read Zohar Salat and then mashallah, the plane left at 2:30 and then we landed here 3:30 and Brother Hafiz Muhammad Basa was there to pick us up, brought us here to where we're staying in Umslanga. MashaAllah, beautiful day today, excellent, MashaAllah. To me, it looks like a cloud in the sky. The me you see, yeah, on the side I'm seeing, there's no clouds that side. So maybe on the other side there is, I'm not sure. But anyway, and then we read Asr Salat, and then I told him how to sleep. So then after that, when I woke up, then we read Maghrib Salat, and then we then departed. We went to our brother Ibrahim Day. So the Day family, I know them from Newcastle time, you know, 30 years now. So I go plus minus, because there my brother Yusuf Dokrat was there. So Yusuf Dokrat, marhum, he passed away 2002. But his son Umar Farooq, and it was a tragic accident. So he and the Days were in partnership in certain business ventures and so forth. So that's how I came to know. So many, many years now, plus minus 30 years, we know them. So I told them, because their house is very near the masjid. So mashallah, we had a wonderful, sumptuous supper there. And then went to the masjid, Masjid al-Rahman. And then mashallah, Isha time, Maulana Shuaib Jibai performed the salat. He's the imam there. And thereafter, the masjid is about 5-6 years old. The Imam Sahib is there about 3 years, mashallah. And thereafter, mashallah, some Hafiz Katrada read the Qirat, beautiful. And then Maulana Mahmood Ishaq read, mashallah, the Naat Sharif and so forth. Maulana Yunus Patel, rahimahullah's grandson, daughter's son, beautiful rendition, mashallah. Then we spoke for about 1 hour plus minus. And it was all to do of the various significant, you know, events that occurred during the time, during the month of Rabiul Awwal, besides the Miladun Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the auspicious birth of the Master alayhi salam, and the wafat and the demise of the Master alayhi salam, and the hijrah and so forth. So the other events and incidents, mashallah. And then this morning also we had 1 hour program, mashallah, with Mawsalim Kareem. So everything is fine with Allah's help and Allah's mercy. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Let us start. You know, we started Imam Abu Hanifa, rahimahullah, then we discussed Imam Malik, then Imam Shafi'i, then Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, and then last week we discussed Imam Muhammad bin Hassan Shaybani, rahimahullah, for all of them. Allah Ta'ala grant them the highest stages in Jannat al-Firdaws al-A'la. Their contribution is something that is indelible. Their legacy shines and glitters for all times, all places. So today we discuss Imam Abu Yusuf, rahimahullah, fascinating personality as well. Imam Abu Yusuf, remember, his name was Ya'qub bin Ibrahim. So his name, Ya'qub. His father's name, Ibrahim. Very few people know that because he's so famous with his kunya and ignomen Abu Yusuf. And he was born in Baghdad, in Iraq, the year 113. So it shows when Imam Abu Hanifa was born in 80, and then after how many years, we see that 80 to 113 is already 33 years. So when he was born, so then when he came to study by Imam Abu Hanifa, Imam Abu Hanifa is already around 40 years old and so forth and so on, you see. So we must remember all these features and facts and so forth. So lo and behold, what had happened is this. So in a very young age, his father passed away, just like Al-Imam Shafi'i, rahimahullah. And he became a yatim. So his mother was very concerned of the livelihood and so forth and so on. So then she told him that you must go and work. And she spoke, you know, that person and whatever, you sent message, said, give my son a job. So on basis of sympathy, empathy, so they gave him a job. But you know, children, one day take this route, take that route. So he saw this madrasa. And he went to go sit there. He's still under 10 years old, plus minus, you know. And he found it very, very interesting. So he said, let me sit here. So Imam Abu Hanifa, in the 3-4 days that he sat there, latent talent, you call it in English. Latent talent means that the hidden talent. So the Ustadji, Imam Abu Hanifa, realized that this boy, young person, has got a lot of talent, you know. But then the mother was very upset, you're not bringing income and so forth and so on. So sent a message there to Imam Sahib, you, what you're doing to my son, you're spoiling him and we need money and we need income. So all that, so Imam Abu Hanifa went to the house and told the mother of Imam Abu Yusuf, you know, and told him that, you know what, that she, you don't worry about this young boy of yours, young son of yours, I will arrange everything. So subhanallah, he was a rich man, Imam Abu Hanifa, rahimahullah, and a wealthy person, you know, he used to sell material, fabric, and a lot of things like that. So every time he gave him 100 dirhams. Imam Abu Yusuf says, whenever the money was coming, going to be finished, like, you know, say after 3 months, 6 months, whatever, before I could even ask Imam Sahib, the next installment would come. And it carried on like that for years and years. Imagine. So yeah, the teacher is teaching the student, and not only teaching him, but giving him material wealth also, giving him money also, because he saw that this was a student that had such great potential, talent, and so forth. So that is what we must learn. You know, head hunting. You call this head hunting. You must look for such potential students, inshallah, and help them also along the journey. And in that way, there, how they can imbibe and acquire the knowledge and then become an asset to this ummah. Now the table turns. Can you hear me, Mozaid?
Chief, we can hear you perfectly, Mufti.
Okay. No, this phone, the other phone is ringing, so therefore, I'm just sending it away. Okay. So this thing... let me carry on now, that I lose my concentration totally. So anyway, that other phone just rings all the time also. People got queries and whatever. So I was telling you that in Islam, that is also a big need for this head hunting. Look for potential people who have great talent, ability, capability. And even if you have to help them along the journey, you know, it's not everybody is like what I would, or I, my case was. When we went to go study in Karachi in 74, so the Maimon, you understand, society, and them told my father, we will pay. My father said, never. I don't take no charity from anybody. Manjo putar, I aw paisa di no si. It's my son, I pay for him. So there's not few people only do that, you know. And to pay for 7 years, up and down, all that, and all lot of stories. Then I got married and a lot of that. Okay, leave that now. So anyway, with Allah's help, Allah's mercy, everything happened. Hada min fadli rabbi, hada rahmatu bi rabbi. But now the tables turn the other way around. So this youngster, Imam Abu Yusuf, now, mashallah. Hello?
Chi Mufti Sahab.
Okay. So Imam Abu Yusuf, rahimahullah, so what happens to him is this, that he now becomes, you'll understand, like the favorite student of Imam Abu Hanifa, rahimahullah. So this. And according to the ulama who wrote his biography, plus minus, they say he spent approximately 17 years, 18 years. And therefore, when you study the Hanafi fiqh, which is known as fiqh al Iraq, the fiqh of the people of Iraq, therefore, when you study Tirmidhi Sharif, and he doesn't really take Imam Abu Hanifa's names, then name Mubarak, he will say, وَقَالَ بَعْضُ أَهْلِ الْكُوفَةِ 90%, 80% of the time when he says وَقَالَ بَعْضُ أَهْلِ الْكُوفَةِ, not always, but 90-80% of the time, it refers to the Hanafi school, you know. So that is also something you should know. So the Hanafi school was not like the other schools of jurisprudence. That there the imam would teach, and then the person would teach, and then the students would compile it. Yeah, there was a whole group. And there were 30, 40 of giants there, fuqaha, muhaddisin, awliyaullah, and a lot of people, you know. And then the masail were discussed, like, you know, intensely. And then they would try and reach some conclusion and consensus. So if there was agreement, well and good. If there was no agreement, then one side is Imam Abu Hanifa and Imam Abu Yusuf. So they were called Shaykhin. Why Shaykhin? Because Imam Abu Yusuf is the main and the illustrious student, you must remember, of Imam Abu Hanifa, rahimahullah, most prominent student like. And then if you take that, both of them, the most famous students, they disagree with Imam Abu Hanifa based on sincerity and ma'al ihtiram and with utmost reverence, respect, they would differ from their honorable teacher. Then Imam Abu Yusuf, Imam Muhammad, they call sahibain. You see, approximately 25% or up to 1/3, they differed with Imam Abu Hanifa. So as time progressed and so forth, halat changed and so forth. So therefore, on this furu'i, secondary issues, they differed with the Honorable Ustad and Sheikh, remember. From there also, we take a big lesson. We don't have to have a pipe piper's, you know, idea and a sheep mentality. And so, no, once you are a student and you are going into the ocean of knowledge, so then you can speak to your teacher, you can discuss the issue and say, but this issue, I feel that this dalil is stronger, this dalil is stronger. If the ustad agrees, very good. I give you one easy example. Easy example. Sometimes I can't understand things, you know, how we work. We look for more ikhtilaf than looking for more ijma. If somebody has to ask you today, Mohana Zahid, what is the masala of, you understand, that mas'alatul faras, that regarding the horse and so forth. Is it halal? Is it haram? Is it makruh? Is it this? Is it that? 80%, 90% of the Hanafi jurors, scholars today will say, no, it's makruh, it's this and this and all. But why must we say that? You must remember that. So Imam Shafi'i, rahimahullah, says the horse is totally permissible. The Maliki say totally permissible. The Hanbali say totally permissible. Imam Abu Hanifa initially used to say that is makruh and so forth. But few days before his demise, he made rujoo and he withdrew and retracted that fatwa. Husi fatawa imadiya. And in there you will find waraja ila qawli sahibain. So sometimes the ustad, because why? إِنَّمَا اخْتَلَفُوا لِأَجْلِ الْحَقِّ وَمَا اخْتَلَفُوا فِي الْحَقِّ. They differed for the sake of truth. They did not differ in truth. Always remember that sentence. إِنَّمَا اخْتَلَفُوا لِأَجْلِ الْحَقِّ. They differed for the sake of truth, not for warm fancies and desires and take out from their pocket and so. And إنما اختلفوا لأجل الحق وما اختلفوا في الحق. And once they found the truth, then mashallah, they accepted that and embraced it. So rather than giving that, we must say in this day and this age, now this consensus among all four schools that the horse meat is permissible, finish and clear. But we perpetuate the ikhtilaf in so many masail. You will see that nowadays, you must remember that. You can easily take out the ijma, but people will continue saying, no, this is the ikhtilaf. You know our Mawlana Qasim Sema rahimahullah, because he saw the giants of our time. Hazrat Allama Shabir Ahmad Usmani was his teacher also. I heard him saying personally, he said, many a time some teacher was ill or sick, so they had a free period. Then he used to go and sit in the dars of Allama Shabir Ahmad Usmani. Allama Shabir Ahmad Usmani is one of the giants, you must remember, of the whole of our time here. So you must remember when the Pakistan was formed in 1947, then he raised the flag day in Karachi of Pakistan. Remember that? That time it was called West Pakistan. And in Bangladesh, Dhaka, and that Allama Zafar Ahmad Usmani raised the flag and all that, what is called Bangladesh. Then Hazrat passed away in 1949 or so. So it shows that what giants they were. And so you just have to look at his Fathul Mulhim commentary of, you understand, a Muslim Sharif in the Arabic language and so forth. So like that you will understand. Then Hazrat Mohan Abdul Rahman Amrohi, and then you see Hazrat Allama Sheikh Yusuf bin Nuri Rahimahullah, Hazrat Mohan Abdul Alam Sahib. These are all the Rijal, the Kibar, the giants of our time. They were Rahimahullah to all of them. So he, when we used to write exams, you know, prepare the exam paper, he should not like, we must say, uktub ikhtilaf bain al-a'imma and so forth. You see, don't use this word ikhtilaf. Write there, uktub al-madahib. You see that? Write down the madhab and so forth, you see. So this is how they taught us these things here, that we will always just put ikhtilaf. So they wouldn't even like that word. Not something haram or something, but adab. So rather write the word mazahib, and it shows you can bring people more onto, you must remember, unity and so forth, even in fiqh and jurisprudence and so forth. So here you see sahibain, Imam Abu Yusuf, Imam Muhammad. I was telling you about the horse masla. So then today you just say it's finished. That all four schools say is totally permissible. And how Quran Kareem teaches us in chapter 108, verse 2. فَصْوَلِّ لِرَبِّكَ وَنْحَرْ. Nahar means you slaughter the camel while it's standing. So similarly, you slaughter the sacrifice. You can't make qurbani of horses, remember that. It's only an'am. An'am means the cow, the sheep, and the bull, and all that, and camel family, and so forth. But how you make nahar, you keep the camel standing. So same thing sahaba say, naharna al-faras. Fi zamani rasulillahi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you used to make nahar, you keep the horse standing, and they knew how to slaughter and so forth and sacrifice and that, but not for qurbani purposes, remember that. So all aqiqah and all that, you can't use that, the horse. So that's just one easy example I gave. Then if you go further into the Hanafi school, the you know, it's called Fiqh Ahlil Iraq. Allama Zahid Kawthari Rahimahullah wrote a whole book on that, you must remember that. That a Fiqh Ahlil Iraq, which I got somewhere, they is lying in the library somewhere. So anyway, you must remember, then if Imam Muhammad, Imam Abu Hanifa, Imam Muhammad differed, and they were one side and the others were on the other side, so they were called Tarafain. So Imam Abu Hanifa, Imam Abu Yusuf, Shaykhain. Imam Abu Hanifa, Imam Muhammad, Tarafain. Imam Abu Hanifa on top, and his two brilliant and most illustrious prominent students, Imam Abu Yusuf, Imam Muhammad, differ with him on a certain issue, then you say Qawlu Sahibain. So that was the verdict of Sahibain, you see. So this is how you need to understand that always the fiqh would devolve and evolve, and remember that it will change sometimes, but not on usul, not on the core principles, on the furu'i, on the secondary issues and so forth and so on. But it must be done with ikhlas, must be done with ihtiram. So today, that is what we are lacking and what we don't understand sometimes. The ummah today have forgotten jihad and to fight against the enemies, which Hamas is teaching the ummah a big lesson, and ijtihad. But ijtihad, as Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahimahullah wrote beautifully, that ijtihad, the doors are still open, but it's not for Harkas wa Nakas and every Kullu man Habba wa Dabba and every Tom, Dick and Harry or Tom, Dick and Mary. The rights of entry are reserved for those great, great fuqaha, great, great jurors who understand Quran Sharif, Sunnah Mubarakah, Fatawa of Sahaba, and they understand the four schools of thought properly and thoroughly, and they have ubur on it, they have expertise on it, then they are the people who can make ijtihad and all that. So that is how you try and solve the modern day issues, Masail Jadida, Masail Hadira, and so forth, and so on. When we were studying in the 70s, we even saw them, you must remember that. That these great, great giants would come together. First, Hazrat Mufti Muhammad Shafi Sahib Rahimahullah, he passed away in 1976. So we're speaking about 74, 75, 76. Then Shawwal Hazrat passed away, Grand Mufti of Pakistan. Then Allama Yusuf bin Nuri Rahimahullah, Hazrat passed away in 77. Then Mufti Rashid Ahmad Ludhianvi, you understand? So he was the big, great scholar. His fatwa kitab, Ahsanul Fatawa, very famous. So these three were the main ones there, you see. And then you had Mufti Taqi Usmani, Mufti Rafi Usmani, Mufti Wali Hassan, sometime also you should be part of them. So in that way, Rahimahullah, to all of them, the only one living from them now is Mufti Taqi. The rest all passed away, Rahimahullah. So that they say, Masail Jadida, Masail Hadira, Ki Tahqiq, you understood? And that is how they would address all these new issues for the benefit of the Ummah. So they took their cue from the fiqh ahli Iraq and so forth and so on. So now let's go on. So he is Yatim, Yaqub bin Ibrahim, all right? So now he's staying there. The money is sorted out, sponsorship, bursary, whatever you want to call. Obviously, they don't have to pay back and so forth. You know, it's a gift from Imam Abu Hanifa. So the mother also is sitting content, and she was not sure, you know, that this will continue. Maybe he'll give 1 month, 6 months, 1 year, and then finish. But he continued giving, you see. So then she was, and one time she sent a message, you, Imam Abu Hanifa, you're making my son, you know, like a jahil, you're making him crazy, like you're making him mad, that you are just doing all this. You know, women sometimes they get carried away, and so forth, like that. So because they don't understand too much about, you know, the tafakku and fiqh and so forth. Normally, not all now, but sometimes. So all that happened. So one day, now listen to this. This is the ajib part. You call this firasat. اتقي فراسة المؤمن فإنه ينظر بنور الله. Fear the insight, the foresight of this people. So he, Imam Abu Hanifa, is the ustad, is the sheikh, and he's teaching. You understood? So he told him, for him, Yaqub and Ibrahim, who subsequently becomes Imam Abu Yusuf. He tells him, I see you, one day the rulers will take the pistachio and they will dip it like, you know, in the like oil or some syrup or something. Take syrup might be better, and whatever, and so, and they'll feed you. So he thought that maybe, you understand, this sheikh of ours, he just wants to make a yatim bacha, an orphan child happy, like him. Imam Abu Hanifa passes away, all that happens, you understood? And he is going higher and higher and higher in rank, Imam Abu Yusuf. But before we come to that, so one, and he was so pabund, so particular, meticulous of attending Turks, you know. Hazrat Sheikh Nawarullah Marqadah, who writes in Abbt, his autobiography, not BT. Our people did it upside down. It's Abbt. Abbt means your own, you understand, autobiography. You write your own life history. So Abbt. So that's what he did. So today he writes, as a Sheikh, Hazrat Muhammad Zakariya Nawarullah Marqadahu, that myself and my colleague, we said when we studying hadith by our honorable asatiza like Hazrat Muhammad Khalil Sahib and all of them, we will stay in the class and receive every hadith directly from the teacher and in the state of wudu. We don't want to miss one period, and we can't receive the hadith when we're not in the state of wudu. You see that? So he says, whenever we felt that the wudu will break, there'll be wind coming out or so, then we just tap. I tap my colleague, you know, I just give one shot with my elbow. Then he would ask the Ustadji a question, you know. pose a question. So in that, say Hazrat Sheikh then goes out, tapijes outside, and just make first wuzu quickly and come back. If his colleague, you understand, the wind or whatever is coming, so then he just tap Hazrat Sheikh and then he goes out. For months this continued, then one ustad called Tabi said this, they ask a question and one person goes out. So they said, no, Hazrat, we made this pledge. Like that. I said, very good, very good. So they never miss one period. Alhamdulillah, I did also Mishkat, all this. We did 10 hadith kitabs with Musnad Abi Hanifa. I never miss one period with Allah's help in Mishkat and in the final year and so forth with Allah's help. You see, all happens with Allah's help. So he was harishun alal ilm. So you must remember he had that great passion for knowledge, you see. Imam Abu Yusuf, rahimahullah. Now lo and behold, his son passes away. You know, his son passes away. Mm. He told his people, family, you'll carry on with the ghusl, you'll carry on with the kafan, you'll carry on with the dafan also. And me, I'm attending my ustadji's lectures and dars. I can't miss the dars and the lesson of my teacher. I'll just come for janazah salat and then I'll come back. See, now that is what you call harishun alal ilm. Now today, you be honest, Mu'azahid Khan, Tamad Barakatuh. If somebody's son, daughter, father, mother pass away, what will happen nowadays? Never mind, one day the student will take off 3 days. You understand? Mm-hmm. You say, I learned by you, Ustadji, 3 days is mourning. So I'm mourning period. That is the difference between our real akabir, our giants of the past, our illustrious pious predecessors, and we, that how? They would not miss a dars. And we look just for occasions how we can miss it. Yes. And we'll give some legitimate excuse and say, no, ye bhi, this is a rurat and dars and all these type of things. Now what happens? So now Imam Abu Hanifa passes away. He was born in 80 and 150. All this is now during the Abbasid dynasty. We have to go a little bit in the politics here and make a note of it. One day it will help you in life, all these things I'm giving you. So Habib, we're in a month of Rabiul Awwal, so we should know this much also. So he, Habibuna, Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, demise takes place in the 11th year of the Hijrah. Okay? Rabiul Awwal, Monday and all that we say. So then for 30 years is Khilafah, Khilafat al-Rashida, you see. So that ends in 41. Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu anhu, Sayyidina Usman Ghani radiallahu anhu, Sayyidina Ali Haidari Qarrar, and Sayyidina Hassan radiallahu anhu, his 6 months plus minus, is also part of the Khilafah, Khilafat al-Rashida, Indal Muhaqqiqin. Because the hadith says, Al-Khilafatu Ba'di Thalathuna Sanatan. So how can it be 30 years if you exclude that? It won't be 30 years, so therefore it's included also. So Sayyidina Hassan radiallahu anhu, in this month of Rabi'ul Awwal, he resigned. And he went from Iraq to Dimashq and Damascus, and he, after resigning, he handed over the mantle of leadership, Khilafat, to him, Amir Muawiyah radiallahu anhu. This is the beginning of the Umayyad dynasty. So they ruled for plus minus 90 years. 14 Khulafa they had, right? Then when the dynasty finished, then you have the Abbasid dynasty. And they ruled for 525 years plus minus. They had 37 Khulafa. When they were finished and all that, then you have the Ottoman Empire. And Khilafat there's Usmaniyah. So Khilafat Rashida, headquarters Madinah Munawwara. In time of Sayyidina Ali, it came to Kufa, you see. And that is where Sayyidina Hassan was also. Then in the Umayyad time, it went to Damascus, Syria. And then in the Abbasid dynasty, it came to Iraq, Baghdad, and all these areas there. So that is how it was, 37 Khulafa. Then we have the word Ottoman Empire, Khilafat Usmaniyah. They ruled for 640 years plus minus. So imagine that. And they had 37 Khulafa. Because two people ruled for very long periods. Suleiman al-Qanuni, Suleiman the Magnificent, he ruled for 48 years. And you have Abdul Hamid al-Thani, the second Abdul Hamid, the one who told the Zionists and Theodore Herzl and them, never mind that you want to give me billions and so forth and we are drowning in debts. I will not give you even one hand full of the sand of Palestine. That also I won't give you. see, these were the Rijal. And today's news is breaking that the Jutlas are encouraging the settlers to enter Aqsa. And they say that this Bumbatu Sakhra, the term of the rock, we must go and demolish it and so forth. So it's gathering momentum, you see. Where are the Arab leaders? Where are the Muslim leaders? أكثرهم أو كلهم نائمون. They're the fast asleep. Everybody worried about his own kingdom, his own government. No one worries about the Ummah. Show me one. So remember that. Maybe you get Taliban a little bit, but who else? So nobody's 90% not bothered also. كل حزب بما لديهم فرحون. That they just worry about their own kursi and their own power and their own authority and so forth. If they really had concern, they could have done much more. So that is the big problem we are facing today. Nevertheless, let's carry on. So now it is the Abbasid dynasty. And now they were ruling from Turkey, Istanbul and all that. That is Khilafat, Ottoman Empire. So now Imam Abu Yusuf, rahimahullah, is there in Baghdad and so forth, right? And it is Harun Rashid's time, you know. Harun Rashid was so proud also sometimes to say, wherever it rains, like, you know, I know it's raining on our territory. It's very similar to the British Empire. They say that the sun never sets on the British Empire. In the 60s, when we go to school, primary school, they used to teach us all these kind of things. But every empire has to collapse, like how you're seeing the collapse of the American Empire now. Oh, Trump says they're eating dogs and cats and all this kind of in America. So that's how you have it, you see. So obviously Trump exaggerates a lot of things, but anyway, there is some truth. There's no smoke without fire. So one day, he, Khalifa Harun Rashid, invites him. Invites who? Abu Yusuf, rahimahullah. And this is now the royal banquet, like you see. And so then he takes that pistachio and puts silver syrup and he gives to Abu Yusuf. Imam Abu Yusuf starts smiling. So he asked him, why are you smiling? What happened? He said, Rahimallahu Abu Hanifa. Imam Abu Hanifa told one young yatim child, one orphan child, one young child, that you will become such a giant, you must remember, that the rulers will consider their honor, they will feed you. He said, Yara bi'aynihi biqalbihi. Imam Abu Hanifa used to see with his heart what we could not see with our eyes. Yara biqalbihi ma la nara bi'aynina wa bi'ayunina. What he used to see from his heart, the insight, firasat, what we could not see with our own eyes. What a great, great, you understand? Inside the head and so forth and so forth. So that happened. Then Khalifa Harun Rashid's time, so they gone for Umrah, they gone for Hajj. So these rulers were not like today's rulers. They had love for ulama, respect for ulama, and all these things. So then, so he told Imam Malik, rahimahullah, you are the big genius here in Medina. This is the Qazi Abu Yusuf, you see. And now, you must have some ilmi discussions, and we, the awam, we will sit. He said, very good idea. So then the first day, they had a discussion. You see, what is the topic under discussion? Sajda Esau. That when must you make Sajda Esau? So then they asked Imam Abu Yusuf, rahimahullah, which day must you make Sajda Esau? Or which time, when must you make Sajda Esau? So he said, Ba'da Salam, that you read Tashahud At-Tahiyyat in the last sitting, and after that you make the Sajda, and you made Salam one side, and then you made the Sajda. And then you repeat from At-Tahiyyat, and then you read Durood Sharif, Salawat, and Dua, and make Salam both sides. So you call that Ba'da Salam. When they asked him, Imam Malik, rahimahullah, he spoke in code language. Al-Qafu bil-Qaf, wa-Dalu bil-Dal. Obviously, 90%, 80% of people didn't understand. But Imam Abu Yusuf understood. Al-Qafu bil-Qaf. If there's nuqsan in Salat, then you must make it before the Salam. So you read your tashahud, everything and everything, and durood, salawat, and then you just make the salam, and qabla salam, and then you make the salam, you see. So that is, for example, you're reading 3 rakat salat, 4 rakat salat, and qa'da ula, you forgot, you stood up straight. So that is nuqsan, you see. Then if you made ziyada, you added something, you made 2 rukus or something, or you made 3 sajdas, for example. You know, people get confused. So then you make it ba'da salam, like the Hanafi style. So he, Imam Yusuf, is a genius. So he asked him, oh, Ustad, oh, Imam Malik, that what do you say if a person, he committed a mistake and mistakes in one salat, the same salat, there was ziyada and nuqsan. He did something extra and he omitted something in the same salat. Then when will he do? Fasakata Malik. Imam Malik kept quiet. فَضَحِكَ النَّاسِ. The people started laughing. Imam Malik said, هَذَا جَزَاءُ مَنْ لَمْ يَمُتْ مَا أَقْرَانِهِ. This is the punishment for people who live very, very long and they don't pass away with their contemporaries, because he passed away after he was 80 years old. So that day, Imam Abu Yusuf won the debate discussion, let's say. Next day, so now all this under the auspices of him, Harun Rashid, you see, the Khalifa, Amirul Mu'mineen, or call him whatever you want. So the masla is about saw. You know, nowadays we have ikhtilaf and difference and all that regarding sadaqatul fitr and all that and all that, so on. So now the question came, they asked Imam Abu Yusuf, what do you say is saw? You understood? So he gave the Sa'ul Iraqi, you understood? That Samaniya to Arpali, that 8 rital. In Memental now we use the word rital. Rital is like, you understand, 1 pound or whatever in that. So it's an Arabic word which we use in Memon. You understood? I know my mother, father, you see, Hakro rital gani achko, bring 1 pound, you see, like that. So it's an Arabic word. So then when they ask Imam Malik, what you say? What he saw with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, khamsatu ardalin wa sulus, that 5 rital and 1/3. And he told all the muhajirin, Ansar's children there, you show this Imam Abu Yusuf that which type of saw was used in Medina during the time of Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So they each one took it out and said, this is our father, grandfather, they used to use that. And you know, in the Maliki fiqh, we discussed it before already, you have ta'amul ahlil Medina. What was the regular practice of the people of Medina? So Imam Abu Yusuf, jiska zarf bara ho, Allah inko bara bada deta hai. That when you have a magnanimous heart, you're really seeking, searching for the truth, Allah will give it to you. وَرَجَعَ أَبُو يُوسُفْ إِلَىٰ قَوْلِ مَالِكِ وَالشَّافِئِ وَأَحْمَدِ. You see that? So you must remember Imam Abu Yusuf then retracted the verdict. He differed with Imam Abu Hanifa and them, and he joined majority scholars. So today, if you don't want ikhtilaf on this masla and you want to make it ijma'i, so it's very easy. You say the 3 imams said this, and the Hanafi call, you pass on Imam Abu Yusuf, then you have ikhtilaf. You understand me, Mawlana Zahid?
Chi.
Yeah, so that is what you call tafakkuh. Now, all this was done. And if you study the fiqh al-Hanafi, you will find it that Imam Abu Yusuf, now you must understand 3-4 things. Khalifa Harun Rashid loved him so much. You understood? For Abu Yusuf, he gave him one title, Qazil Quzat is Chief Justice. In time of the Sahaba, in time of the Khulafa, in time of the Umayyad dynasty, they wouldn't use this term. It was not something that was prevalent. First time it was used during the Abbasid dynasty, and he, Imam Abu Yusuf, like famously, now, if one person becomes the Qazi Quzat in small place, that's different. We're speaking of a whole country, and for you know. So his verdict will be binding for the whole empire. Like. So this is how the Hanafi fiqh flourished, you must remember that. 525 years you're running the government, and you're in authority, and Qazi Abu Yusuf's verdict will be for the entire empire. Imagine that. So what a great contribution. So that is how the Hanafi fiqh flourished during the Abbasid dynasty. Qazi Abu Yusuf is Qazi al-Qusat. Then if you go further, then if you see the Ottoman Empire, so they also were 100% Pakka, 100% Hanafis. So then for the 6 centuries also plus was Hanafi fiqh. And the book they used to use is called Al-Majalla. So you must try and just go on your Google, you will find it there. So there in Darum Zakaria, I saw a copy like that. So you must remember Al-Majalla. So there you will see that the Hanafi fiqh, they used to apply it from that book there for 6 centuries. So you got the Abbasid dynasty, there it was applied for the whole world, the Muslim world at that time. And during the Ottoman Empire, they were running countries. They were in charge of continents. And 600 years, they would apply the Hanafi fiqh and so forth. And this is how the Hanafi fiqh gathered so much momentum. Until today, if you look at it, you must remember, then you will see that if you count numbers, then the Hanafi fiqh is the most, you understand, is the most dominant in the world. And if you see, compared to all the others and so forth and so on. Now we told you, Harisun al-Ilm. Okay. Yeah, we discussed it briefly, but no problem, we can still mention it. So, you know, me and you, we both are students of Hazrat Mufti Zahul Haq Sahib. I studied by Hazrat in Karachi, you studied there. So now in Zakaria. So now, but he's our ustad, our sheikh, everything. Hafizahullah. So now we become close to Hazrat, right? You see, like that. So Imam Muhammad, also a favorite student of Imam Hanifa, he writes books and all that. And Qazi Abu Yusuf, also like favorite, that he is a big faqih and all that, passing verdicts and what have you. So all that happened. Now when he accepted this qaza post, he became the qazi, Imam Muhammad became very upset with him. He said, our ustad, he refused this post of qaza and he gave his life. His janaza came out from the jail. And you went to accept it. So some ulama wrote, they never spoke to him for a long period. Some ulama say they didn't speak to him and then they made up. So but whatever it is, but it shows Imam Muhammad really did not want anybody who's very senior to accept that post of Qazi and becoming a judge, let alone Chief Justice and so forth. And Imam Abu Yusuf is a teacher of Imam Muhammad. People say the Hanafi fiqh, they weak on hadith. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahimahullah says, whenever I wanted to understand a hadith masla, I used to go to Imam Abu Yusuf rahimahullah. Because Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal was in Baghdad. Imam Shafi left in the year 1099. And you must remember that. So you see, yeah, that this is before that, that before Imam Shafi came there. So Imam Shafi came in 195 to Baghdad. So he, Imam Abu Yusuf, is still there. So Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal used to refer to him and tell him, for Imam Abu Yusuf, teach me what is this hadith, this hadith, this hadith, and so forth. So therefore, we should know the true facts and don't fall for propaganda. And, you know, people just sheep mentality, follow the sheep, follow the pied piper. That is not Islam then. Islam is ala basiratin. Chapter 12, verse number 108. قُلْ هَذِي سَبِيلِي أَدْعُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ عَلَىٰ بَصِيرَةٍ أَنَّ وَمَنِ اتَّبَعَنِ. So that is our Islam. Invite towards Islam, towards Almighty Allah. And you must have firm conviction. You have dalail. Hazrat Muhammad Sayyid Ahmad Khan Sahib, Nawwar Allah Marqadahu. One day we were in Medina. One South African wanted to ask a masla. I told him this, but he wasn't satisfied. So I told him, see, that time that Masjid al-Nur was still in the initial stages, 75, when we performed Hajj, we slept there. There's one very famous soccer player, Toby Hatia. So Toby and myself, we slept there. And the roof also was not up. And the wind was blowing and so forth. So I remember we used to feel so cold. But anyway, we'll go back and sleep there. You see, he's alone, I'm alone, no problem. So that long story short. So then Hazrat told us, I used to ask him questions. So he said, that's what I want. Everything we do in the work of Dawud and Tabligh, we must have Dalil and evidence from Quran Sharif, from Sunnah Mubarakah, from Sahaba, and that. Then he read this verse, Ala basiratin ana wa man ittabani. So anyway, all that finished. Now I want to tell you his qissa. He was born Imam Abu Yusuf rahimahullah 113. He passes away in the year 182. So 69 years he lived, right? So you must remember that this is Imam Abu Yusuf rahimahullah. And now his last moment, just look at it, Mazahid. And you, the esteemed listeners of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. If you perform Hajj or you went for Umrah and you went for Ziyarat, then you will know exactly what I'm speaking about. You know, in Mina, there are three Jamarats. In the olden days when we perform Hajj in 75 and 80 and whatever, so there's two apples, you know. Now the shaitans are gone so big, they got 12 shaitans. It's not 12, it's 15, but you can't see the other three. For the royal family and the dignitaries, underground basement, they got special. Because they're special shaitans, so they have to hit the special shaitans, you see. So they can't hit in front of people. The people will tell them, you know how it is, and so forth. So anyway, so 12, let's just say 12. When you come from Makkah, then it's two floors. You come from Azizia, from Mina side, Muzdalifa side, then another two floors. Makkah, Azizia is same side. And the other side is from Muzdalifa side. So cut long story short, so it's four floors, like you see, by that it is. So 12 shaitans now. So it's like big. If you know cricket, like you have, you know, that, you know, the side screen or whatever you call it, big like that. You can't miss it. A blind person can also hit, you know. So they came to him. He's in bed. He's very ill, Imam Abu Yusuf. So when that person came to him, he asked the question, Imam Abu Yusuf, to that person who just came to visit him. He asked him, when you go for Hajj and you're making Ramyul Jamarat, you're pelting the symbolic shaitan, is better Rakian or Mashian? You know, in school we used to have questions, Wana Zahid. True and false. So if you write all true, you'll still pass 50%. You write all false, you'll still pass 50% plus minus. So that person said, Rakiban, that is better you be a mountain on the angle, like camel or horse or whatever. He said, Akhta'ata. And then he said, okay, Mashian, walking is better. He said, Akhta'ata. It's like saying the true answer is wrong and the false answer is wrong. So he said, Subhanallah, how come both are wrong? See the genius Imam Abu Yusuf rahimahullah. He said, we're speaking of adab, we're speaking of mustahab and what is better and so forth. And in those good old days, you know, all these gold. He said, when you come there to Jamarai Ula, the first shaitan, small shaitan, then you must walk. Then you pelt there your seven, and then you face Qibla and you make dua, walking. And then when you go to Jamarat Wusta, the medium one, middle one, you walk. And thereafter, you go one side, face Qibla, you make your dua. When you're going for the big shaitan, Jamarat Buzruk, so story time. I took my sister and wife and all of them for Hajj that time. I say, these Arabs, they don't know what they're writing, you see. So I said, that time they had it written there in many languages. So this is big shaitan. This is Jamarai Aqaba and Jamarai Kubra and other Urdu. Ye bara shaitan hai. Like that. So they wrote there Jamarai Buzruk. So I told my wife and sister, I said, see this Arab they wrote. They wrote that this shaitan is a Buzruk. So they said, but how can they write this? Because they only know Buzruk to be a pious person, you know. So Buzruk is a Farsi word. It means an elderly, you understand? But we use it in the context that this is an elderly person and is very pious. But literally, it just means big. So what they wrote there is correct. But sometimes we don't understand things properly. وَكَمْ مِنْ عَيْبٍ قَوْلًا صَحِيحًا وَعَافَدُوا مِنْ الْفَهْمِ سَقِيمٍ. Sometimes what the person wrote or said is correct. But we, our brains are sick, so we must understand it, you see? And so forth and so on. Then Imam Abu Yusuf told that person, whether you pelt on the 10th, 11th, 12th, 13th, by the Jamarai Buzruk, or the Jamarai Kubra, Jamarai Aqaba, never you make dua. So when you're going to pelt that big shaitan, symbolically, you jump on your horse, your camel, whatever, you pelt and you move away. Now what the dalil he gave on Anna Zahid Khan, what you say? That person says, then I left Imam Abu Yusuf, I just closed the door, and then Subi Summa Kubiza Ruhuhu, and his ruh left him, and his soul left him, Wantakala ila Rahmatillah, and Wannasu Yabgoon, and the people were crying then. Now you tell me, these are the people right in their sakarat, one can say, but yet they disseminating knowledge, teaching the ummah. And tomorrow, if you go, Allah's fiddle, Allah's mercy, Allah's grace, Allah's benevolence, I went. So if you go there in A'zamiya, Imam Abu Hanifa, rahimahullah, is buried. Write it down. In the year 182, he passes away, and the area where he's buried is called Kazimiya. It's called Kazimiya. And where Imam Musa Kazim is buried, not far from there. So you must remember, I'll tell you Ajib or Gharib story of this Imam Musa Kazim also. So they're all buried there in Kazimiya. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal is buried there next to the Dijla, but there's no real sign there now. So remember, Iraq is Ardul Wafidatain, the land of the two rivers, the Furat and the Dijla, the Euphrates and the Tigris River, the land of Anbiya. Nabi Yunus alayhi salam is buried there, land of Sahaba. Salman Farsi radiallahu anhu, Huzaifa bin Yaman, and Abdullah bin Jabir, and so many others, Karbala, Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu anhu, and so many thousands of Sahaba radiallahu anhu, Majmaheen, buried there. So you had the whole Abbasite dynasty from there and so forth. So what do you think about that? And Abdullah ibn Mas'ud went there to teach the people in time of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu. So all this, he told them, how can I give you Abdullah? He is taqihu hadhil ummah. They begged him. He said, take him and let him teach there. Aathartukum ala nafsi. I give your preference, O people of Iraq, over myself. And he took that. That is how the Hanafi fiqh started. Imam Abu Hanifa teacher Ibrahim Nakhi, his teacher is Hamad, and Hamad's teacher is Ibrahim Nakhi. Ibrahim Nakhi's teacher is Al-Qaman Aswad. Al-Qaman Aswad teacher Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud teacher Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is your sunnat for the Hanafi chain, Hanafi school and so forth. So this is how they did. Now last story quickly. So at that time, the leader of the Abbasid dynasty was Mahdi. Everyone had a fancy name. You see, the 37 Khulafa. So his leader was Mahdi. So the people, you know, when people get famous, then people make a lot of propaganda. Hasidin, Hafidin, people are jealous, envious. People got the axe to grind. And they have hiqd, jealousy, hatred, malice, rancor. So they went to Mahdi and told him, you understand, that's Musa Kazim, he did this. Why Kazim? He would control his temper. Kazimin al-Ghayza wal-Afina al-Nas. So they called him Musa Kazim, you see. So anyway, Hazrat Jafar Sadiq's son is. So Rahimahullah. So this Mahdi ruler locked him up. He put him in prison. So after 1-2 nights he's sleeping, he sees Mustafa, Habibuna, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a dream. He says, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam addressed him, O Mahdi, what you did? You never read the Quran, Surah 47, Surah Muhammad, verses 22, 23? In tawallaytum, when you have authority. Now you are the Khalifa, you the ruler here. Antuksidu fil ardi. You can make fitna fasad on this earth. Watukattiu arhamakum. These are part of my family. Where they belong, you must remember, to the Ahlul Bayt, children, and all. And you go lock him up. If you keep on locking him up, then look at the next verse, chapter 47, verses 22-23. أولئك الذين لعنهم الله فأصمهم وأعمى أبصارهم. Allah's curse is on you. And Allah makes you spiritually deaf and spiritually blind. He got a shock next day, straight away, out of jail, everything, asked him for forgiveness and so forth. So these are the giants. Go visit Iraq, go visit Iran, go visit all that. Go with the right ulama, and you will see our glorious history of the Ahlu Sunnah wa Jama'ah. Imam Abu Hanifa buried in A'zamiya, Imam Abu Yusuf in Kazimiya, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal there, next to Bishr-e Hafi, his grave Mubarak. But there's no sign now. And that is next to the Dijla, that is the Tigris River. And Sahaba, so many of them. So Allah Jalla wa Allah give us tawfiq that we live with Iman, pass away with Iman, and make the faqquh fi deen, understand our deen properly, and not follow like just sheep and pipe pipers here. Our deen is not like that. Our deen is based on dalail and evidence. Ameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.
صوت أهل السنة والجماعة، صوت مركز الصحابة.